going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Thing the entire year, and he still got scored on with the game-sealing bucket there from Shea. So,
well, that part was intentionally young in the sense that you had a faith in those guys, him and Gigi.
That's right.
That they were going to be key pieces for you.
That's right.
That's part of the intentionally young that he didn't really talk about, you know, yesterday. And there are reasons. Vince hurt. You know, Gigi. Well, there's a whole nother level of maturity he's got to get to.
Oh, yeah.
But that's on you.
Yeah.
Because you're the one that put the faith in those guys, and that was not unintentional. You signed them up.
Yep.
You put them on standard contracts, and it didn't work. So it just surprised. And when I hear that kind of defensiveness, it makes me it would lead me to believe, okay, well, he just thinks a couple tweaks are necessary to go back in. Maybe even you keep the interim that you believe so much in.
Yep.
When you went out and got him from Team France and spent over market value to get him. And if that's how he truly feels, climbing, that it's just going to take a couple adjustments.
I don't think that's...
He's headed for perhaps disaster.
Yeah, I don't think that's where Zach Climbin is. I don't think that's where they can afford to be.
Yeah.
Jaren's playoff numbers are 15.5 points a game, 6.5 rebounds a game on 39% shooting from the field.
You're talking about an indictment. It's what you said. It's the picture of Caruso 100%. Abusing him 100%. In these playoffs.
Like
in year 7 for Jaren.
You,
that's all I need to see.
You should be averaging 30 against Alex Caruso. I mean, again, no disrespect. He's a great defender,
it's
but he's 6'3".
It's disrespect to you that they feel like they can put him on you and have him handle you.
There is absolutely no question about it. There's no question about it. And they didn't double you. Right?
They doubled and tripled him, you know, down the stretch there, and he's bringing the ball down. And,
yeah.
But he's not backing
Caruso
down.
I'm
talking about in the end of that game after Jock comes out.
Yeah.
Because that was the only thing left on the floor.
Exactly.
They don't have to, you know. No, man, no, you're right. They handled him. And it was who handled him. That's why I say playing this.
Yep.
If you don't play it, you don't see Jaren, you know, and how embarrassing that was. Hell, he got called out by Kendrick Perkins and everybody.
Yep.
And listen, he's a great young man. He's a leader, clearly, you know, Players Association leader, all of that. He's going to have a good career.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, based on where he is in his career and what he's got due him, I just don't see how it fits.
Yeah. No, I agree.
And smarter NBA people than me seem to be coming to that conclusion as well.
Yeah. It's you know, and again, like Desmond Bane. I mean, Desmond Bane is averaging more in the playoffs than Jaren. I mean, Desmond Bane's averaging 17 a game. You know,
my only issue is if you're just moving on from Jaren, and there's, you know, Bane job backcourt is a minus defensively and will remain
right,
so.
Right, right.
Again, got to hit on three. Boy, if you're gonna trade Jaren, better be another good defensive player you're bringing here, because that ain't Zach Edey's forte. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
It's just there's a lot of work here.
Three of the four playoffs that Jaren has been in, he has shot worse than 29% from three.
Or Bobby still wants to do too much of that and not be a big, even when they've got a 6'3", 6'4" guy on you.
I mean, that is
year 7.
You know, that is just unacceptable.
We're also talking about, you know, still dealing with foul issues and frustration from them, and then compounding that. So
I mean,
maybe a coach can pull that out. The coach we're talking about for Jock can do that for him, but I don't know how you do it at this price without having at least have then at that point moved on from Bane and sort of restructured this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Something's got to happen here with the three.
I mean, there's a real possibility. Like, this is what you have to think about, right? This is the calculation that the Mavericks controversially made with Luka. Don't look now. Is Nico drinking tea? Kermit the Frog? Don't look now?
Because they're down 3-1.
I'm just saying.
But the Lakers can rebuild a whole organization plus LeBron around this.
No, you're right. No,
and
listen,
so it was
right.
Still stupidity.
That's exactly
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Even if in the short term.
Oh, 100%.
He might be proven right. But there's a real chance that Jaren Jackson Jr., if he is given the extension, is the highest paid player in the NBA. Because Tatum is 5 years, 314 right now. So this he would be. Are we really talking about Jaren Jackson Jr. with the Memphis Grizzlies, the highest paid player in the NBA? I know the cap goes up, so it's the market, but like, I cannot do that. I cannot do that. I'm sorry, I cannot do that. I mean, you're averaging 15 points a game in the playoffs.
Yeah, Mobley's passed him in the playoffs as far as that. Mobley's passed him as a player who's younger than him.
Yeah, what's he averaging?
I mean, we don't question Mobley doing big man things, you know. And I think he's year three, whatever it is.
He's averaging for his career in the playoffs 14.5, 9 rebounds. He's only played 20 games. And this year he's averaging 16 points on 58% shooting and 46% shooting from three.
Dude, he's on his way.
And he's like their fourth option, really.
I mean, just saying what you don't, you know, there's not any still at this point in Mobley's career. The whining, the frustration,
right.
The not rebounding,
right.
Things we've been hoping Jaren would grow out of that he hasn't.
Yep. Yep.
So that's all. We're past those things with Mobley now. It's just about how good a player he can be.
Yep.
And not seeing that growth from Jaren is.
And here's the other thing about
another
Mobley.
Reason why.
They're up 3-0 in the series.
Yeah.
He's only committed 3 fouls.
Wow. Yeah, he's a very smart player.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, that's another thing. It's like, I realize Ja has injuries, but Jaren has foul issues.
I'm just saying, I use him because when I'm watching guys that are
younger
coming after Jaren and they've already progressed past him, sort of like what's happening with your organization right
Sengun.
Now in terms of some of the – well, yeah, there's a lot. He's just a tough – he's got a toughness to him that, you know, Jaren may never sniff.
I mean,
I don't know that that's ever in Jaren or that a coach could bring it out. That's just a – that dude's a goon.
Now, I do think
in the
that
best way.
If you end up trading Jaren or, you know, whatever form that takes, I do think he's the perfect guy that's going to go wherever his next stop is and, like, be amazing. But,
well, because he'll be on a team where he's, like, the second or third guy. And,
right.
And the coach is, you know, got a culture. And
but, you know, can it's like in the context of what the Grizzlies are trying to do, bro. Like,
yeah, it's where like, we are and having really to stick to Ja, what you and I have decided.
It just – it probably just can't. It can't coexist.
If Jaren sold seats by himself, it might be a different conversation.
I mean, but dude, 15 points a game on 39% shooting from the field ain't selling tickets.
And Ja, for the most part, when it's playoff time and he's healthy, he's performed. I realize he's missed playoff games, but he brings it.
Dude, Ja Morant averages 26-8 in the playoffs.
Yeah, there is no question about what he does there. You don't question what, you know, Ja should be. Why isn't he doing this?
Like that's
just got to be there.
Like
though.
To me, that's the end of the discussion. I realize that he's missed games, but 26-8-6 is what that man is averaging in the playoffs.
Yeah,
he is unavailable for any trade talks because before what I would even get for him would not even justify the time.
Oh, I'd want to know. I know you know. I'm with you on this, but I'm doing my due diligence on all of them.
Yeah, and he shot 42% from three. In 2022-23 in the playoffs in that 5-game series. So, I don't know, man. It's again not an easy discussion, but it's one that's being had. So, we'll see what kind of form it takes and when it happens. But it feels like we're here right now with the Grizzlies. All right, we'll come back with the rundown. NFL draft, lots of controversy, prank calls, Shadur Falls, Lots to get to. Stick around. Jason and John, 93.5.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
I'm ESPN.
Love isn't always on time, but Leaders Credit Union is, because they can always be there for you. No matter what your financial questions are, you want to be well when it comes to your finances. We call that financial wellness. Leaders is you who you should enlist the help of. I don't know what your bank's doing for you, but Leaders Credit Union can do a lot if you want to join the family. You join the family, you own the place, really. They're a not-for-profit financial institutions fully owned by members, means it operates for your benefit. 70,000-plus members in West Tennessee and growing. Got the new branch up out in Arlington, 5500 Airline Road. I tell you what I love the most about Leaders is the technology. I use it a lot to check on little CJ's Future Leaders of Savings account. He's got a great rate. He's watching his money grow. We've become part of the family. That way you can become part of the family and do adult things, things other than just Future Leader Savings Account, mortgages, car loans. You can get all of it from Leaders, and because you own the place, when they make money, it goes back into the place, your place. That means better rates for you on those mortgages. And so, hey, home equity line of credit, you want some extra cash to do that home renovation project? Leaders can help you there, too. Got rates as low as 6.99% APR on those. Grow with Leaders. They're federally insured by NCUA and your financial champion.
Real quick before we start the rundown, I do want to just sort of address a couple of tweets that we have gotten today. One from Trey. Trey says, I want some real changes, but it's probably 2-2 if Jod doesn't get hurt. Don't do something just to do something. And to that I would say, I think we can say for sure it would have been 2-1. For sure it would have been 2-1. They had a 29-point lead. Ja would have helped them, obviously, on that lead and most likely get out of there with 2-1. But that being said, they still would have come back in Game 4 and have been 10, maybe even greater, point underdogs in Game 4. Because usually what you see in the NBA playoff pricing is that zigzag gets priced in. So if they close 9.5 in Game 3 and win, they're probably going to be 10.5, 11-point dogs in game because that desperation of the other team starts to set in, right? And so there's a tax on that. So let's just call it square, and let's say that had been a 10-point underdog in Game 4, right? Josh healthy, a 10-point underdog. That would have placed them, spread the money line, and I know this is kind of like math here, plus 570. All right, that would have been the underdog line for them on the money line, which is a basically 15% chance of winning the game. You cannot make organizational decisions based on a 15% chance hypothetical, even if you had held on to the Game 3 win. Even, you know, so I understand that Josh said that he figured him out, and maybe he did. I mean, maybe he did, but I have to deal with the information that I have. I can't really make franchise choices on fantasies and myths and what ifs and hypotheticals. Can't do it, man. You can't say that they would have been 2-2. They would have been 10-1.
None of that matters. What the part of it you need to extract from it, or people that are responding or whatever else, is that you need Ja. You can't trade Ja.
Yeah.
Because your chances were gone once he was off the floor.
We all saw it.
And again, you can look at this and say, as long as I've got him healthy, Desmond Bane, Jaren Jackson, that's going to be competitive. But you were losing games with those three against the better teams in the NBA since the trade deadline.
Yeah.
And you got clocked.
That's right.
In the playoffs.
That's right.
And so, no, man, I don't know. I'm not concerned about that at all.
And then La Machina says, La Machina is very thankful that we are not running the Grizzlies. He had some choice words in there, and he told us he wanted to let us know that our segment was absolutely embarrassing.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But, again, I understand that there is a logical piece to trying to keep this all together.
I'm assuming that's the side he's on. That's
clearly. But I would tell you that everybody doesn't always operate in logic.
No. I'm surprised those folks are still firmly entrenched where they are. There's less of them, I think, after what we've seen against OKC. More have come to this side. It feels like that a real shakeup is needed. Now, splitting all that up, because some folks think it's Ja, some folks think it's Jaren, some folks, no need to get into that. But that group, how could you be firmly entrenched in that belief this is all going to be okay with a couple of tweaks?
Again,
based on what we've seen.
Taking into consideration the financial implications.
Right.
I mean, that's, you could keep it together, I think, if you don't extend Jaren in the offseason. I mean, I think that is, you could do it, we could run it back one more time and try to use the money that you would have, that flexibility that you would have. Got the mid-level, you got some other things like maybe a...
So in that scenario, is he eligible for the max and you haven't given it to him? How you think of Jaren's feeling about that?
What are we talking about there?
How you think it looks like that last year of his deal? If you elected not to, you're right. You could go that way.
Yeah.
But you're going to have a Jaren that's ready to get out of here by the time his next season starts.
But if
he's earned that.
I genuinely feel like if you give Jaren the all the money now, you lose Ja. Like it's going to, someday it costs you Ja.
Well, it's not like they got some great pick and roll combo going for their career. Is it?
No, they
ain't Stockton Malone like we once envisioned they might become, are they?
There's no two-man.
That has never materialized.
Yeah, it hasn't.
They really haven't been Batman and Robin in that way.
Yeah. No, you're right. They kind of just exist.
We believed that as they grew.
Yeah.
That so would that pick and roll combination.
Yeah.
Bro, don't set screens.
Right. You're right.
That's why you need the center to do it.
That's right.
Because and why, John? He's a pop-out guy.
Yeah.
This should have worked. He's got the body to do it.
Yeah, you're right.
And you haven't been able to pull that together. Back to the point. You don't need those two together in some way. And, yeah, I mean, that's back to where you started. There is no need to feel like Ja and Jaren have to stay together.
I certainly
wouldn't feel like Ja believes that based on how that there's no even two-man game in between them.
Yeah, this is not Jokic and Jamal Murray.
Now, I would say part of that, I would say, is organizational.
Yeah.
You didn't develop that.
Yeah,
maybe you decided to go elsewhere, but you got to make him a screen because he can pop out and he can roll.
Yeah.
What are we talking about? They both have all the ability.
It kind of felt like Ja and Steven Adams had more of a two-man game than
I'm glad you went there. Because it's never materialized or you've never pushed it, it makes having the center, whether it's Steven Adams or it's Zach Edey, so much more important because somebody's got to do that for Ja. And now you're tied to that. You're now tied to another player because Jaren can't do it.
Yep.
You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And that'd be the thing. If there was a even if it looked at times like Stockton and Malone, I might be ready to invest in that.
Yeah.
And I say, I'm looking over at Bain. Okay, man, with this money, we've got to know the governor. But that never – and, dude, we were talking about that for years. We were saying off seasons. I remember the sort of phrasing we use. We would chain them together.
Yep.
Right, and we wouldn't let them leave a gym until they'd come out with a pick and roll that was lethal.
Yep.
Why did that never happen?
I don't know.
Is it because just because Jaren can't? Why can't he?
Maybe
I would ask.
He's a post up guy, and it has to be ISO with him, and I don't know.
No, because he's a big that doesn't set screens, bro. He's got the body to do it. That doesn't create the space that they should be. And then again, there are so many reasons. That should be a factor. And I'm bringing that up because then maybe you're more willing to say, I got to keep, those two at least together and pay Jaren.
That's right.
Back to the point.
Well, like, for example, like, the Bucks never found it with Dame and Giannis.
No, it didn't happen.
So, there's going to be great change there. There's going to be, because the financial implications.
Well, now it's forced to.
Yeah, exactly.
Like you said, Dame's career is probably changed.
But, even Kat with the Knicks. Like, they've already developed. Like, Cat was absolutely massive in that game against the Pistons. He hit, like, crazy shots. They trusted him with the shots. Like, they found him, already. So, you know, I think that is definitely the
what did he finish with in that game? You remember off the top of your head?
I don't.
I was going over there to look.
It had to be a ton because
for as much grief as we've given him about being soft,
he had 27. And he was big in game three as well. He got killed in game two because
he's 0 points second half. I remember it very well.
Because everyone's like, oh, they don't know how to use him. He's had 31 and 27 in consecutive games, shooting 50% and 71% from three. I mean, isn't Cat comparable to Jaren?
I think Cat is making the max. We've used him. I mean, he's one of those guys. I'm pretty sure he's there.
Right.
And the part that he brings to the table is the rebounding.
I mean, Cat averages 19 and 10 in the playoffs.
You don't get close to that with the 10 with Jaren. And what did you tell me, 15?
Yeah.
For playoff career.
And he also shoots 37% from three.
Let me tell you what Karl-Anthony Towns would have done if they had put Caruso on him. For as much grief as we have given that man from Memphis over his career,
you're right,
calling him soft,
he would have made him pay.
He's a real big.
Yep.
He's a max big in that he gets points, he gets rebounds.
They wouldn't have put Caruso on Cat. How about that? They would have never done that.
Because, like you said, they knew they could get away with it against this franchise.
Yep.
And against that player,
they would not have tried that on Cat. That would have been Chet the whole way.
To me, that's the vision. That's the biggest takeaway in terms of the whole series.
Right.
That, how not just we're far off.
It's yeah,
this one of your core pieces.
Yep.
Was guarded in a disrespectful way
by a bench player,
and they got away with it.
Who was giving up 8 inches?
This guy that you view as many views untradeable. Nah, and that's why seeing it, I'm telling you, necessary.
It's almost
seeing
like
it was necessary evil, man.
It's almost like emasculating in a way. It's like, you know. And they just wouldn't. It was like when the Warriors didn't defend Tony Allen in the corner, right? They just left him.
Well, and then when they doubled and tripled him when Ja was out, it was an absolute joke. He tried to go through it. He hit one, which was like a hook, but it was worse because then he tried to bring it down, and they're just bad. They play right into his head. Like, it was ridiculous. Like, you know, doubles, triple teams, most big men by now, seventh year of their career, they're throwing out of those. You're finding the open man very quickly because you recognize.
Yep.
We're still here.
Yep. Yep. That's tough, man. It's tough to run. I hate to say it, but playoff performances get weighed. They are weighted more, like they have to be, because that's ultimately how you're judged. You're not judged on what you do in a regular season where nobody cares and guys are out and back to backs and stuff like that. I mean, it's just not the same grading scale. So anyway, we're a little late. Let's do the rundown. All right, let's go around the playoffs. We talked a lot about the Grizzlies and their, again, super competitive loss to the Thunder in Game 4. The positives for me, Scottie Pippen Jr. Like, he's asserted himself as a, like, trench guy.
Yeah.
He's somebody that you got in, and you like, that's a great deal. My God, you got that guy.
Oh, you got to give Kleiman credit for that one.
Yeah, because he has shown that, you know, he was the only offense for a lot of that game. I mean, what do you have, 30? Man, had 30 points in an elimination game with no Ja Morant. That's amazing.
I think he is more valuable to you than Tyus Jones ever was, especially on the contract that he's on, the fact that he plays defense.
Yep.
Like, in a crazy way, you have upgraded there from what you had with Tyus Jones. Remember what Tyus was being paid and why you had to move off of him.
Yep.
You know, for that price, where Scottie is now,
that's a
great backup point.
Scottie Pippen is an asset.
He is.
For the Grizzlies. That could be used in a trade. I mean, I know the money isn't.
No, he is. Because I would think he's attractive, especially to a franchise that doesn't have a point guard or could talk themselves into it. Either way, I mean, again, you're hoping in that case someone sees Scottie as a starting point guard.
I mean, he's 24 years old.
But I'm just saying for this franchise on this deal, remember, this deal, you got him on this standard contract. It really helps you in terms of if you're moving forward with the three and everything else.
Yep.
He's perfect.
Yep.
If you have to move on from him, unfortunate. Like, I'm not at a point where I'm saving anybody at this point, you know, to upgrade the team. But dude,
yeah, I mean,
he is that guy, and he does it on both ends.
I assume any trade the Grizzlies make, he would probably have to be included in it because, you know,
he's attractive. In the deal. He's on a great deal for another team.
No question.
He brings tremendous value, I would say, at this point in his career.
I mean, he can help somebody. Like, I mean, he helped the Grizzlies. And so again, tough loss. You know. You know, you're in it the whole way. I give them credit. They got down 10 there in the fourth quarter. They punched all the way back. Like, Santi was fantastic. You know, it was a game that really you only were going to stay competitive in if you had pride. And they did. And the Grizzlies had pride. I mean, Jay Huff got some minutes, bro. I mean, it was like the invalid list. And they fought hard for the people that were there. And so I appreciated that, and especially as somebody that had plus 15 and a half for a good wage.
Oh, I could tell the way you're talking about Santi.
I respect.
Like, yes.
I respect so much. I had a good time, man. Again, I had $300 worth of High Noons.
We know why you had a good time. Because you won money and you were on High Noons watching a loss that you bet on.
That sounds like a good way to spend a Saturday afternoon.
Sounds like a good way to capitalize on misery.
I went to
some people.
I went to Silky's. They had the goats come down after the game, so I saw the goats. That was fun. And then got a chance to meet up at Rendezvous with the Murray State staff.
Oh, nice.
The Murray State staff.
Yeah, oh, man.
So
they feel like they're running our town, don't they?
I mean, I think they may have more NIL than Memphis, bro.
Stop it.
I'm a little concerned. I'm joking when I say that. I'm obviously joking when I say that. But look at Murray State's roster. They are going to be freaking good.
Well, yeah, if they're saying we're full and not taking players who could actually help them.
Is it bad that I like their roster more than I like Memphis?
We knew you were going to like their roster.
Let's talk about
that. Is it
bad?
What's bad is that they might even be anywhere in a discussion where we're talking about NIL is comparable. That's what's bad.
You got Mason
Miller. It's bad for us.
KJ Tenner. The kid that was at West Virginia last year, who is a stud, like he's gonna be freaking good for them. They got a couple other like big guys, like King from Creighton. Like
did they tell Amar Knox they're too full?
I think Amar Knox did get that message. Unfortunately, they
could have
had him.
That to me is crazy.
They could have had Amar Knox.
Because I'm sitting up here saying, why don't we have Amar Knox?
Yeah,
based on what he did against Auburn.
Yeah, so
and in the tournament.
I mean, they're crushing it in the portal, man. I mean, for that level, they are really, really crushing it at this moment. So we'll see, you know, ultimately.
I mean, Penny's put together, based on, again, how he had to wait on PJ.
Yeah.
I know this is not where we are. We've gotten way off. But, I mean, done about the best he can, bro.
Yeah, no, I agree. I wouldn't fight you on that. It's just, you know, a tough spot for them, too. But around the NBA and the NBA playoffs, Cleveland's going to finish it up. Tonight, probably, right?
Of course.
4-0, Zombie Heat. They are a mess. Even no Darius Garland for them in Game 3.
I think Pat Riley wants it done.
No problem. Yeah, so they can go out and get Giannis.
Yeah.
So you got that series concluding. What else do we have tonight? We have the Warriors-Rockets tonight. Warriors had no Jimmy in Game 3.
I know.
Still won.
Yeah, man.
Still won the game.
Heart of a champ.
And again, that's probably just that inexperience for Houston, right?
Like, disappointed me about being on the Houston side of
yeah.
it, thinking that they could and should win this series, quite frankly, and convince yep. myself that, yeah, this Warrior team has still got that Steph greatness in them, but it's right there, ready to be pushed over the ledge.
Yep, it is.
And Houston does not look ready to do it. You're right. Because, not right now. But they'll get game four.
Yeah.
And we'll have a three-game series.
Yeah.
And I'm still hopeful my Rockets will pull it off.
They are.
Put them to sleep, Houston.
They are, I think, what? 3.5-point underdogs tonight, 4
yeah.
point underdogs, but it does kind of feel like, you know, the Warriors, I read this whole piece yesterday about the way that the NBA is heading. There's this writer who says that it's a weak link league, and basically what that means is we used to think of the NBA as a strong link league. Like if you had LeBron or if you had you know, Michael Jordan, no matter what, if you had the best player in the series, you were winning the series no matter what. And this writer argues that that's no longer the case. The writer argues that this day and age in the NBA, whoever's weakest link is worse, right? No matter how – maybe like the Warriors are a great example of this. They have the best player in the series in Steph Curry, but they probably also have the worst player in the series in, you know, Moody or – you know, whatever the case may, you know, we'll pick, right? The Rockets have more depth, it feels like to me. They're kind of pushing back on that. But the Timberwolves, you know, the Timberwolves are showing that,
wow,
they have no weak links. Like, the Lakers got weak links out there, bro. They got, like, Jordan Goodwin and, you know, Gabe Vincent and you know, Jackson Hayes starts for some reason but never plays again after the first 5 minutes. They got weak links.
Did you see he played all his starters
yeah.
the whole second half?
Crazy. And they ran out of gas at the end.
LeBron said he didn't, but they did.
mean, Luka was out of gas.
Yeah, Luka sure. was.
LeBron might not old freak self.
I mean, I don't understand why they start Jackson Hayes. He plays 4 minutes a game, and then he never comes back in.
Dude has no faith in him. Starting him is just, at this point, symbolic because J.J. has no faith in him. He doesn't have faith in either one of their centers, any of them.
The Pacers are a good example of this theory because they don't have the best player in the series. That's Giannis. Hmm. But every other position, you would say, is strong. Like, I watched that whole game last night. They are unbelievable offensively. How fast they play, how the shots they get for their guys. I mean, McConnell's out there carving up the defense, dude. I mean, the Pacers are an unbelievable system. I don't know if they can beat, you know, the Cavs, but they're going to be live, I think. I think they got a chance. I mean, they were in the Eastern Conference Finals a year ago, you know?
Yeah, they're not. Yeah, the Cavs going to handle that.
So, I think that's mostly, Pistons-Knicks. You got Pistons-Knicks who, Pistons blow it. They're up 11 with 6 minutes left, and Mikal Bridges hit two falling away threes. Cat hit two ridiculous threes. And Tim Hardaway Jr. was probably fouled. Then they say he was fouled.
Mm-hmm.
That's, like, brutal.
It is.
Come out after the game and say that he, like, why couldn't you, can you, I guess they could have challenged that if they had a challenge, or you can't challenge it because there was no call.
No call.
So there's no call, you can't challenge. You can't challenge a no call.
Hmm?
Yeah. That's tough, man. That's brutal. They got robbed in that one because that would have been, they were down one, right? They would have had three shots to win it, or at least at the very least tie it. Magic Celtics, I don't think there's been anything surprising in that. Magic competing, fighting their ass off, but they're just too young. They don't have enough. And then Clips Nuggets.
Yeah, that one's interesting.
I
thought Clippers were going to win both games in L.A. Nope. They let Aaron Gordon steal one.
They sure did. Now, the Nuggets were up 20, right?
Yeah,
blew it. Yeah. And then, of course, they had that dramatic dunk there at the end. But see, that's a test of the theory because they have the best player in the series in Jokic, but their depth is non-existent. You would say the Clippers have much better depth with, you know, they got Norm Powell, they got Batum coming off the bench, Zubac, they got, you know, Harden, Kawhi, they got more depth. I don't know, though. Kawhi's probably right there with Jokic. I mean,
this Kawhi is.
Yeah. Right there.
Although Jokic's numbers, dude.
Yeah.
And you could also say it's not the same.
Right.
Because what he's doing from a rebounding standpoint is the offense runs through him.
Yeah, no, it does. I mean,
Harden's still kind of controlling things with the Clips.
He's not going to win MVP, though. Even though you just basically admitted he's the MVP.
You could give it to him every year, just like LeBron. You used to could give it to LeBron. Yeah. You used to could give it to Mike.
Yeah, it's just the way
it works. It's SGA's time.
It is.
He's earned it.
And then who's
I think it's the right pick.
And then it'll be Ant-Man's time.
I mean, remember, they ran off. Remember your net rating thing.
Yeah, no.
Second best.
Behind the 96 Bulls. Yeah.
And, I mean, that's the man who did that was there every night, averaged over 30. He got
to
get it.
Is Ant-Man next?
Yeah. Knock off Lakers, get to a Western Conference Finals maybe. I don't know.
Bro, that man.
Stay on the floor next year the whole time. He'll be due. He'll be due up. He'll be into the, you know, that bumps him up into consideration. But they have to be among the leaders. You can't be.
Yeah.
Yeah. You in terms of your regular season finish.
Dude, Ant-Man dragged Cat to the finals, the Western Conference Finals last year.
Oh, he's incredible.
He's dragging. I mean, I will say Jaden McDaniels' development has helped a lot, but it ain't like this Minnesota Timberwolves team is like flushed. I mean, they got 37-year-old Mike Conley out there. You know what I'm saying? Gobert, who gets played off the floor all the time. And they're up 3-1 on the freaking Lakers and Luka.
I think LeBron fears Anthony Edwards now.
And Ant does not fear him.
No. He looks at him like a colleague. And that's scary.
He does. Like,
did you see what he said? That was it our man Tom Crean? That was his colleague.
Yeah.
He said that Tom told him to play with joy. And it's changed everything.
Dude, I love Anthony Edwards. He has a great personality. He's so fun to listen to.
He'd
in the post-game.
He away from the joy, and Tom told him, get it back.
Well, who can Ja call?
I don't know if Jaren was calling the Michigan State folks. It didn't work. It didn't toughen him up for the Caruso matchup.
It worked for – was that before game two or game three?
I think it was after game one.
Yeah, so game two it was –
Man, stop. We said Caruso still was boxing us out.
Damn.
It helped our offensive numbers a little bit.
Right, but it was still 118-99.
Who does Ja call? Oh, who was my guy? Who was my guy down there? Said
Matt McMahon.
Yeah, where's he at?
He's at LSU now.
We call Matt.
Yeah, I mean it's just not the same though. I don't think Matt made the same impact on. Because remember we interviewed Jaren for the first time. That man called Tom Izzo.
Yes, ma'am.
So he has a real affinity for him that I don't think John necessarily has for Matt. So I don't know who we call, man. I don't know who 12 calls.
Jacques gonna call Damon Stoudemire. Gonna call Sam Cassell. That's who we gonna call.
It's Jacques Vaughn.
Where is he? Y'all buried that old man.
I don't know.
And he was doing well. You took the job from him, gave it to Steve Nash.
You know, Jamal Mosley's pretty good. He wouldn't leave Orlando for the Grizzlies.
They don't have a semblance of offense, though.
He's not doing anything right now.
I know they're banged up, but
yeah, they don't.
He's a great defensive coach.
Yeah, he bring that here. I mean, grit and grind, bro. We got to get back to the grit and grind days. Let's get Jamal Mosley. Let's trade for Jamal Mosley. But no, there's guys out there just like Jamal Mosley, you know, who can bring that identity to the team.
Identity.
You need an identity. You don't have one right now if you're the Grizzlies, you know. And I just, again, it's like, I think if Tuomas Iisalo, we all sat down and we had a few drinks and we were just talking basketball, like, he would wow us. I think he would wow us with his acumen, with the things he knows, and that's not what is up for debate here. What is up for debate is his personality a fit for what this team really needs right now?
Right.
And I think the answer to that is no. He's like a guy who I would hire if I have a team that I expect to go 18 and you know, whatever, 64. Like, okay, we'll start from the bottom. You'll help us get better with our fundamentals and our discipline and all those, you know, principles, right? We're past that. We're past that with this team. I need somebody who's going to come in, command respect, be listened to, challenge guys. I don't know if that guy's out there, but that's kind of where my focus would be, as opposed to like the basketball brain. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I just don't think that's this team. I think they need a personality, you know. You know, in that spot. Could be completely wrong. I have no idea. I mean, I spew 50,000 opinions a year. I could be wrong on this, but that's just kind of how I would approach it. So that's the playoff setup. Only two games tonight, weirdly. Clippers and Nuggets getting an extra day, I guess, maybe because the elevation altitude adjustment. I don't know. Seems like it's a good break for the Nuggets, or excuse me, the Clippers, if that's the case. But Cavs going for the sweep, and then Rockets and Warriors. See if the Rockets can even that up.
NFL draft complete. We did come in here and talk on Friday after day one. So, John, of course, got Genty. I got Loveland, the tight end out of Michigan. And we talked about the Cowboys not taking a wide receiver. And probably the thing it feels like we're not talking about the most is Cam going number one of the Titans. I mean, it's just for most number one picks,
right?
That's usually the story coming out of the draft. I mean, it's one of the major headlines, and we have spent so much time on who's fallen and other picks. In this case, a running back who was a top 10 pick, obviously proven himself. So remember, you know, who's going to trade up for Ashton Genty? Are the Raiders going to be able to get him? All that was big. And yet, you know, the Cam news and the Titans doing what we thought they would do on last Thursday is sort of flown on the radar and has continued to. Obviously, the big news was who dropped, and Shedeur Sanders was part of that. And I bring that up here at the very start because it ended up being the Cleveland Browns that took him. And it's the Cleveland Browns who are the only NFL team to have earned an A-plus from Mel Kiper Jr. in his draft grades. And you still give him an A-plus despite the fact that they also took, which even Mel says was questionable in his eyes, Mel, who is high on Shedeur Sanders, thought he should have been the second quarterback taken off the board. They also took Dylan Gabriel. Do you realize that, John? They now have five quarterbacks on the roster.
Crazy.
You got Deshaun, you got Flacco, you brought in Kenny Pickett, bro.
Didn't they draft two running backs?
And you
as well?
Drafted Dylan Gabriel, and you drafted Shedeur Sanders. With all that, well, I hadn't looked at the rest of their.
I think they drafted.
I got it. One running. No, you're right. Quinshon and Dylan Sampson from Tennessee. Right. So they got two running backs as well. The two quarterbacks that they drafted puts them at five on their roster.
Yeah, insane.
Dylan Gabriel, obviously the stud out of Oregon, and then now you've got Shedeur there, and so to me. How are we saying when you got two quarterbacks and now five on the roster that was some great draft? I did like them trading back. obviously, and getting Jacksonville's first-round pick. We discussed that back on Friday. So I liked their draft. They have tons of holes. They have to be careful because they still owe Deshaun Watson a ton of money. And so getting a quarterback prospect like a Dillon Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders late makes a lot more sense than having to get a rookie quarterback that you're spending a high level of capital of draft capital on and then possibly going to have to pay him 4 or 5 years down the road. They need right now to manage this cap, and you do that by getting a bunch of rookies. You bring in as much rookie talent as you can, so trading back made a lot of sense for them adding picks. In terms of the other teams that Mel gave A's to, Seahawks were an A. Patriots were an A-. Giants, do you like their draft? They got Abdul. Yeah.
Man, I like Abdul Carter.
He's got them an A-. That's what I was – and then Philly, which just seems to get richer every year in the draft, was also an A-. Everybody else B-plus or below. For me, you know, just think, how could the Bears come out of this? We love all the offensive weapons. Yeah, we could go nuts on that as Bears guys, but how could you come out of this without a real proven end rusher when you were one of the worst teams in the league in terms of getting pressure? So I was disappointed with that. We don't need to go through the single picks there. And then because you brought it up, let's go ahead and hit on the Shedeur thing just in terms of the slide, because much of the time post-draft has been spent on why it happened.
Yep.
Shedeur, sliding down to 144 did it end up being?
Yeah.
I could not believe it really at points on Saturday that he was not being selected. After where we had seen, this had gone long past now a Will Levis-like slide, you know, to something we'd never seen, historic. I mean, it was a historic slide based on where he had been mocked at times. And so, listen, it sounds like from all the intel that's come out since that some of, you know, the Giants interview really hurt him. And the word got out afterwards.
Yeah.
Now, did every NFL team, you know, decide, you know, what that info, we're not touching him? Yeah. And you know, Stephen A. charged collusion, as in the case of Kaepernick. And maybe some NFL teams did make a decision, nah, we're not touching him, based on what had happened with Shedeur in other interviews, those kinds of things. That said, I mean, it does seem clear that in interviews, I mean, the kids come out and said it, I could have handled it better. And that, you know, part of this fall was his own doing, not his father's. You know, in some of the ways he answered questions, particularly, and it sounds like this is what most NFL teams wanted to see based on their perception of him going in. What about your mistakes? Take us through this mistake here.
Yeah.
And there wasn't enough, it sounds like, accountability, at least from the reports I've read. This is the Giants making the decision.
Yeah.
Others, you know, he declined interviews with, whatever else. I hate to see it, man. Was there, you know, some foul stuff involved? Yes. And I think that goes all the way up to what happened with the prank.
Yeah.
Because, yes, there does seem to be a sense of entitlement with Shedeur Sanders, and that may have hurt him in terms of what he's willing to be personally accountable for. I mean, that's big in being a pro. But we saw it on the other side, too, with who pulled that prank and called him and told him they were the Saints GM. It was the Falcons defensive coordinator's son. You talk about entitlement on that side of things. He'd stolen the number of Shedeur, pranked him and says he's a GM. And, I mean, you know, in this case, it's entitlement on the other side of, you know, it doesn't necessarily matter the story, but, you know, we won't focus as much on that. Now, that kid's come out and apologized, and I don't know whether Shedeur's accepted or not.
Yeah.
But it sort of was to me. That added to the tenor of the drop to me.
Yeah.
Sort of like the NFL's treating him like a joke. Now, he's helped make his bed here and contributed to it, but, you know, letting your kid steal his number and then punking him on national television and all that, it wasn't just bad taste for me in terms of, boy, you talk about entitlement to Shedeur. How about this kid, this rich kid that thinks I can do this to this guy because I can? I thought there was a little bit of ugliness on the part of the NFL as well, and that was sort of, you know, it was sort of framed in that.
Yeah.
I hate to see it. Kids, who knows? Who knows if he's going to end up playing for Cleveland or not? I can't. I'm not going to sit up here and tell you he's going to be some great quarterback in the NFL, especially if you can't, John, take accountability for mistakes. That's not going to help you in the locker room.
Yeah.
I had the conversation with my son, though. It looked like those Colorado players love playing with him.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They say he blames teammates. Looked like those guys played hard with him, played hard for him.
You know, I think, like, when I listen, I think he's, like,
he's a little weird. You know, like when I hear him talk, like he's a little like strange, like he's a little self-absorbed, you know. But,
a little, yeah.
But like for me, that's like, I didn't have any emotions about his slide. Like guys slide in the NFL draft all the time, dude. Like we see it, you know. I mean, and just because like it's that these mock draft people, these ex, they have no idea what the hell they're doing. Okay, they don't know. They have no clue. They can know like on the surface maybe what the team is thinking, but like they never really have the information prior to. They just don't. And so I wasn't like necessarily emotional about Shadur slide. I mean, you go through, you know, I mean, Gardner Minshew won the Unitas Award, right? And he got drafted in the sixth round. I mean, he had like 47 touchdowns, 9 picks. Like, he was prolific. He got drafted in the sixth round. So we've seen quarterbacks that aren't necessarily like, they don't have all the crazy physical tools slide before. And we know, like, Shadur is not the most athletic quarterback ever. You know, he got sacked quite a bit. You know, you're trying to work through whose fault is that? Is it his? Is it offensive line? Like, you're trying to work through all that. But the part that I obviously had a major issue with was the prank call. And, you know, listen, we've all done it. We've all made prank calls. But I think I made my last prank call when I was 12 years old. And when I was like ordering a pizza for my neighbor, I thought it was hilarious. You know, it wasn't me trying to, because I mean, I don't know if you saw, I know you saw, I'm sure you saw the video of the kids doing it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did you see his video? Because he was on stream when he got that call.
Mm-hmm.
And it created this massive confusion for the family, you know, for Dion, who was there.
I felt awful for him.
And, you know, you don't know, like, is it real? Am I about to get picked? And then you hear, not only did they not pick you, they picked another quarterback, right? Like, I just thought that was extremely, you know, low of you know, those guys to do that. They're in college. Like, what are we doing here, man? Like, this is somebody's childhood dream, their livelihood, their lives. You know, I don't think he should be charged with a crime or anything like that. But I mean, just the fact that in this world you have the idea to do that, for what? For engagement, for virality, for fun. Like, bro, get a life.
I was saying, I mean, his dad, you know, again, you can't, I guess, blame the dad. His kid's going and stealing the number off the whatever it was, computer, or whatever. But I just think it was this sort of loose treatment, too. I mean, that kind of stuff should be protected. It shouldn't It shouldn't be at a point where you can get pranked and put these prospects in these positions.
No doubt.
The NFL should treat that information that goes out and pokes and prods and gets from these guys. I mean, you have to give them that. You have to give them the privacy at least. And that's just on the part of the Falcons organization.
100%.
Awful.
And I guess, I don't know what's going to happen. I mean,
but I would tell you, dude, if I'm the Chicago Bears, I'm looking at, you know, well, whatever NFL organization, should say Bears got quarterbacks. But my point, like I would have questions too going in about his motivations, right? Did you saw the party afterwards? And listen, everybody's entitled to parties. This young man thought, no way he's going later in the second. There was always going to be a party. You had folks invited. But, like, there were, you know, the lifestyle. It looked like Dion. It looked like his dad. The must be the money and everything else. And I wonder if he did not do a good enough job putting out those perceptions of him. That this is what you're more concerned about, the flash and everything else, as opposed to being a real pro, right? And listen, here's the thing, because I can come. He said all the right things about falling and about the Cleveland Browns taking him, but and like I said, he was always going to have a party. But that would consider. Did you see the party? We're not acting like we're the fifth guy on the roster, and we're hell bent on making it.
Oh, you're right.
We're acting like we belong, and we're already a Pro Bowler.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. Yeah. And so those kinds of things would be red flags to me. If I'm selecting him first or second round, but that's the thing. I would have got him second. So based on what I'd seen, the guy was too accurate. Those Colorado players, they didn't quit on him. So I would have made my own decision and not just listen to the rest of the NFL and the personnel that had soured on him. So it was tough to see.
Yeah.
I mean, like you said, I'm not emotionally tied to it.
Yeah.
But I hated that scene where it was he's listening to a guy that's just lying to him.
Yeah. I think all of it was, like, just a little too much over the weekend. Like, just, you know, Mel Kiper, I thought the way he was behaving about it was just outrageous.
Well, he's dead set. It's not just some mock people. Mel had him that this dude's, you know, he's a good start in the league. Mel's going nuts.
Yeah.
And maybe overly so, but he's missed on guys too.
100 men versus one gorilla. Who you got?
What is that? What does that have to do with
it? It's the biggest question in our society today. I mean, it's all over social media, man. It's all anybody's talking about. 100 humans versus one gorilla. Who you taking?
Wasn't prepared for that. I thought we were on Shador.
Well, I mean, in some ways, he probably felt like he had, you know, the world against him. Okay. You know?
Yeah.
But I mean, I think.
And where is this?
Well, this is just all on Twitter, man. It was like the most viral. Like
you saw it and you said it. That's what happened.
The guy who asked the question got like 300 million views on his tweet. It's crazy. And people have been arguing about, like, all right, which human do I have to bring with me? Like, who am I getting in this 100?
Interesting.
You know? I mean.
I think I needed a rundown pause break in there to wrap my head around that.
Yeah.
Because it was on the back of a conversation about Shador. No one understand what the hell you were saying.
Yeah, no.
That makes sense.
It was just a pressing.
Because you didn't make any.
Shador had a lot of pressing questions that he had to answer in his interviews, you know. Yeah. That's kind of like an interview you might expect in a draft. You know, in like a NFL team to ask you one of those crazy ass questions.
I just know that going in, there's a book on me. There's what people, I know what people think already.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to get those questions.
Oh, yeah.
And so on those, I'm going to knock it out the park. I'm going to change the perception.
Yeah.
And the fact that that wasn't, you know, there wasn't an adjustment, it doesn't sound, at least in the Giants interview.
Oh, yeah. He didn't really care, you know. But again, like his personal decisions and how he chooses to carry himself. You know, that he's going to have to answer for those. I just hated the whole, like, let's make his day even worse, right? Let's make his day even worse by trying to be funny and being clowns about it with the prank call. Like, you know, again, that doesn't, just because, like, how somebody sort of behaves on their own, as long as it's not physically harmful to you, it shouldn't determine how you treat them. You know, you should aspire to treat people with respect and with kindness regardless of what comes back to you. You know, we don't get any guarantees of that. It's like apologizing to somebody expecting to be forgiven. That person doesn't have to forgive you, even though you probably should still apologize because you were in the wrong in the situation. You know, you can't apologize expecting to be forgiven. You apologize because it's the right thing to do, you know, for the action that you have done and you have committed. You know, like when I walked out on you that day because you wanted to argue with me about Minnesota Timberwolves ratings.
Change it so it sounds better for you.
I apologized though. I came back
Golden State.
I came back the same show and I said, I'm sorry for the way I handled that. It was wrong of me to do that. I didn't do it because I just wanted you to pat me on the ass and tell me everything's gonna be okay.
Mm.
I did it because I was wrong, man, and I need to be accountable for those things. You know, so I think we need more accountability in society.
You hear that, Zach Kleiman?
More accountability. And less blaming others for our situations. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's easy to do that. It's easy to fall back on that. It's easy to blame Memphis for not showing up to game four because this, that, the other. It's easy to, but how about we look at what we did? How about we look at the fact that we fired our coach? How about the fact that we, you know, went, 14-23 after the deadline?
Yes.
How about the fact that our franchise guy is not playing? How about the fact that we got 50 pieced? How about the fact that we blew a 29-point lead in 24 minutes?
Did Penny Hardaway look in the mirror and we say he had to look in the mirror after last season?
He absolutely did. He held accountability for that.
He did.
And I know he did because he came on this show.
Absolutely.
He came on this show.
He said it. He came on this show. He said it nationally. He told everybody. He's doing it wrong.
Like,
I had to look in the mirror is what he said.
Accountability is coming on a show that has been extremely critical of you, right? And not holding coal in your hand. It's like, and again, even if I'm not saying Penny needed to do that, I'm not saying he needed to come on the show for any reason, but the fact that he did it, I think says a lot about his growth, you know, and what he learned from the year prior.
Then goes out and wins the league like he's supposed to.
He did it.
And wins his conference tournament.
He did it.
And that's accountability. This has to be better. It's on me.
That's
what I expected to hear from Zach Kleiman yesterday.
Yes. And you don't feel like
instead
you got
of trying to convince me Cam Spencer's one of the dogs that's going to help him win a championship at some point.
Terrible.
That's a bad look.
Because that dog's not even in the yard. That dog's
still a cub.
It's in the house.
Little baby pit bull.
It ain't even housebroken.
He might be a runt. He may never grow. He got a little fire to him.
Yeah, but Cam Spencer.
He's not part of the rotation.
He's not going to help you win, bro. Come on.
Look at these dogs.
Jalen Wells was good for you. I don't really think Jalen Wells is a dog, though.
He's a backup three right now in his career. He had to become a one because of your situation.
That's right. That's right.
He made it out to be he had earned this
second-round pick
and was beating out vets.
That's right.
Right, who were having great seasons.
That's right.
No, that didn't happen.
That's right.
So it's not unintentionally.
That's right.
In many instances, no, what was good enough and ahead of Jalen Wells, what was ahead of Jalen Wells wasn't good enough.
Yep. Yep. Now, people do want you to answer the question about the 100 men versus one gorilla.
Has swept up the nation.
You have dodged it.
I didn't like the way it was presented to me.
Well,
maybe if you give me a break and like bring it back
after a case.
Segment.
You
exactly.
want to build a case. All
no,
right.
Well, you need to split. You need to have a pause between Shadur conversation, draft.
Shock and awe. This is a shock and awe segment. All right, we're going to get that answer for you when we get back, Darian. All right, everybody relax. We're going to get that for you from Jason. When we get back, I respect burgers, and then Jeff Calkins, 125. Jason and John, 93.5 ESPN.